Andrew, thanks very much for joining us, and especially from such green surroundings. Obviously, a lot of changes in the market since we last met. Just give me an update on Redevco and how you're seeing the current outlook, and also especially the outlook for retail markets.
A couple of months ago, it really felt that we were in the eye of the storm. And certainly at the beginning of lockdown, you know, we were probably, like many people, extremely pessimistic about how our business looked and how particularly this year looked. You know, I think if I roll it on to where we are today, you know, we're definitely more optimistic. The vast majority of our shops are open again. Trade is picking up. Some of the early signs from footfall and from turnover, some of them, not all of them, are actually really positive. You've seen that actually there's a bit of a pent-up desire for people to get out and get out of their houses and go shopping in some cases. Of course, food and beverage is much slower and much harder hit. So we have to see how that starts picking up. But overall, you know, it's going to be, it's not the lost year that we thought it might be. You know, we've been negotiating and having lots of conversations with our tenants. We've taken the philosophy of this is a global problem, that there has to be a bit of a sharing of the pain, if you like. So that's been a bit of our philosophy on how we've approached those discussions with tenants.
And in terms of the sort of ongoing strategy of Redevco, I suppose, how have you been adjusting that and reacting to that? Has that sped up some of the trends that you're seeing and having to react to?
I think overall, this crisis will accelerate some big macro trends that, you know, that might have taken 5 to 10 years, and maybe they'll take 1 to 2 years, maybe even 6 to 12 months. Who knows? I think for us, it'll have the same impact. I think we're heading in the same direction as we spoke before. We're looking much more mixed use. Much more, we're into residential now, so that's all working. We're starting to look at some other sectors as well. And on the back of all of this, I think we're just even more determined to push ahead with the same strategy, but probably at a quicker pace. Markets like the UK and others will become very interesting for us, still on the retail side. So although we're pushing ahead with a lot of diversification, we still believe in retail. Not all retail, but we still believe in retail. And so I think it'll just accelerate our own plans in the same way as it's accelerating some of those macro trends.
There's a lot of discussion around mixed use and that trend being accelerated. Obviously, you've been diversifying the portfolio, but do you see also this sort of larger focus on particularly urban mixed use?
Cities have always been mixed use. You know, there's nothing new in cities being a combination of mixed use, and a lot of, you know, we're not a big shopping centre owner. We're much more about high street retail, city centre retail. So a lot of our buildings are already mixed use, always have been, you know, shops with residential above, with offices above. So in a sense, we've always been extremely comfortable and we like the mixed use nature of our portfolio. I think where it becomes more relevant is particularly in creating new areas or creating new quarters. You know, I always remember when Docklands Canary Wharf was first kind of developed, and it was just this monoculture of offices. Okay, the City of London 20 years ago was really just an office culture with a few shops here and there and restaurants. Look how that's all changed. I think when people are creating new quarters of cities, then it becomes much more relevant that you start with the point of, look, we're not just going to make this an office area. We're not just going to make it a residential, that we want a bit of everything. And I think what's come out of the COVID crisis is also a sense that being local, having community, has become a lot more important for a lot of people.
I mean, that's interesting because that picks up a trend that we've been seeing a lot, actually, this sort of the aspects of community becoming a much more wide focus during the crisis. Do you see that playing a sort of growing role in the retail world, given as you're saying, that your kind of centres are also within the heart of communities?
Yeah, I think in any crisis, people, our worlds shrink, don't they? You know, when we all get locked down, your world totally shrinks. It becomes your home. In that case, really, you're just your home. And then as things started easing up, your home plus a bit local, and then most of the rest of it becomes digital. I think just also a sense of wanting security and having family around, there's definitely something around a crisis creates a sense of community.
No, and I think that's interesting, that point about more people shopping local, because there's definitely been some more discovery, I think, of what there is and a value put on the, the sort of the ability to be able to shop more locally and support those. Are there changes that you think we'll see? I mean, not just the short-term changes, but maybe, you know, some of the longer-term changes that there might be in terms of the retailers, but also the shoppers?
I think for the retailers, I think this is going to be Darwinism at work, right? I think already we'd seen a lot of retailers had not survived the last kind of 10-year period, let's say, where markets have more or less sort of started, you know, picking up post-Lehman's. I think that'll just accelerate. I think who will survive, you know, I think the strong brands will survive. I think the local heroes will do well. Those with strong balance sheets will survive, that they can get through this. And then probably some competition will fall away. So actually, if you can recover in almost whatever sector you're in, you'll probably be in a good position when you come out the other side, because there'll just be less competition. I think those with high ethics, trust will become an important thing, particularly when people have been shopping online, and trust on your data. And if you go into a shop, trust that you're going to be kind of looked after and they do the right hygiene measures. So I think trust will be an important factor. And I think those that get the right mix between, you know, in-store, online, omni-channel. So I think they'll be the survivors. Who's not going to survive? I think those over-leveraged, those with weak balance sheets, those with weak brands, don't have a strong positioning. I think where ethics are not considered important, I think that they won't survive. And I think the retailers that don't innovate. So I think there'll be a further survival of the fittest. And if you survive, probably you'll be in quite good shape, because there'll be less competition. So I think that's on the retailer side. I think on the consumer side, this is a health crisis that is causing an economic crisis. I think it's, you know, there's going to be, people will have less ability to spend. There will be financially constraints for, I think, probably quite a large percentage of the populations, whether it's through furlough schemes, through unemployment, value for money will become important. Maybe they travel less, so they maybe save on overseas holidays and so on. I think what you've also seen is, across the spectrum, people have become more digital savvy, because for a while that's all they could do. So I think, you know, perhaps particularly the older generation have got comfortable buying stuff online. I think that will continue, probably the onward march of online. But as I said earlier, we've seen encouraging signs that people still do want to get out and they want to go and visit shops. So we fundamentally believe that the successful retailers will be there that can mix the two.
I think in the last crisis, sustainability sort of took a back seat. In many ways, ESG generally, but also the carbon neutral element has really come to the fore, I think. And obviously you're in very green surroundings today, Andrew.
I chose the background specifically.
but just from your point of view, do you see that as an accelerator for that trend as well, towards that ESG low carbon element?
I've said it quite a few times. I think possibly one of the only few winners out of this crisis has been the planet, right? If you look at the reduction in carbon emissions because of the lockdown, then for sure the planet has had a bit of a breather, if you like. And I think it's incumbent on us now to be able to, in the recovery phase, to be able to not lose sight of that. And of course we need a degree of economic activity, we need to economic stimulus, but to be able to do that in a way which balances the positive impact we've seen on the environment, just from, you know, less people commuting, people being more local sometimes. And maybe the office is not the place you go to 5 days a week. Maybe it's the place you go to 2.5 days a week to have collaborative meetings with your colleagues. And the other 2.5 days a week, you can work from home and you can do it flexibly. So we can stagger commute times and not have traffic jams. And all this stuff is good for the environment. I think in the end, it'll probably prove to be good for people as well. Actually, a better focus on health and well-being and looking after yourself, and not being on the treadmill of a daily grinding commute. I think the environment has been a big beneficiary, and I think it's incumbent on us that we keep hold of that as we go through it. And I think, you know, I think people are more aware of that now, and actually that sense of, you know, this is a health crisis makes you think more about health. people have been, you know, there's lots of examples of, you know, whether it's daily workouts or eating better, or, you know, people have used this as an opportunity to look after themselves. And I think when you look after yourself a bit more, then you think maybe about looking after your environment a bit more as well.
That's great. Thanks very much, Andrew, for taking the time to join us today. Always a pleasure to catch up. Thanks very much.
It's a pleasure, Richard. Nice to talk to you as always.